I desire the Lord to meet with us this morning. This week I've been thinking about the love of God. If I could put a title to it, God loved and he gave. And I would like to start with a couple verses of a song that has come to me this week. It's song number 4. Verse 1 and verse 3. The love of God is greater far than tongue or pen can ever tell. It goes beyond the highest star and reaches to the lowest hell. The guilty pair bowed down with care, God gave his son to win. His erring child he reconciled and pardoned from his sin. Oh, love of God, how rich and pure, how measureless and strong. It shall forevermore endure, the saints and angels' song. Could we with ink the ocean fill, and were the skies of parchment made, were every stalk on earth a quill, and every man a scribe by trade, to write the love of God above would drain the ocean dry. Nor could contain the whole, though stretched from sky to sky. Oh, love of God, how rich and pure, how measureless and strong. It shall forevermore endure, the saints and angels' song. So this was this person looking at the love of God and describing it the way he did. And as I read that, do I say, I believe that's an exaggeration right there. Could we with ink the ocean fill, and were the skies a parchment made, were every stalk on earth a quill, and every man a scribe by trade, to write the love of God above would drain the ocean dry. Nor could the scroll contain the whole, though stretched from sky to sky. Was that an exaggeration? You know what? If we really could only see the love of God and how far it has reached over time and eternity, maybe this is not an exaggeration. There's another verse I want to look at. John made an expression about Jesus in John 21 and 25. And there are also many other things which Jesus did, the which, if they should be written every one, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that should be written. Now, think about that, the books that could be written. You know, we read Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. We read about from the manger to the cross with Jesus. Would there be any more? You know what? If we start looking to see where all Jesus reached, let's look at a verse in Psalms, the 90th chapter. Because I realize this thing is much bigger than maybe sometimes we realize. Psalms 90. And the second verse. First verse, Lord, thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever thou hadst formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. You know, we're kind of just in our mind, we're just kind of stuck in time. 80 years is a long time for a person to live. But this one is, God was from everlasting to everlasting, and he will always be God. I am thankful for that. You know, sometimes we will say, how old was Jesus when he died? You know, it'd be easy to say, well, it's probably about 33 years old. But then I start reading those places, like over in John, the 17th chapter, when Jesus prays to his Father, and he said, Father, would you glorify your name? Would you glorify me with the glory that I had before the world was? You know, you start thinking about that, it's hard for us to imagine that eternity stretched out way before this earth was ever formed. And there was God there. There was Jesus with him. And then it comes along and it says, God says in the first chapter of Genesis, let us make man. And we sing this verse, O love of God, how rich and pure, how measureless and strong his love for mankind. God loved and he gave. You know, and easily there's verses that come to my mind that talk about that. John 3:16 is an expression of his love for mankind. For me personally, for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God's love, the very supreme show of God's love to us, was when he was willing to send his Son down. His Son was willing to come down. That will always be the supreme show of his love. There was also the song that we sing, Behold What Love, Yes, Love Divine. It was from Jesus coming down, being willing to come down. Then there's a verse over in Romans, in the 5th chapter. Romans 5 and 8. God commended his love toward us. So he manifested, he showed us his love in some way. And in this one it says, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And there is one other verse in John 15 and 13. Greater love has no man than this, but that a man would lay down his life for his friends. So I want to always know, whenever I'm trying to think of God's love shown to me, there'll never be anything on a higher level than him sending his Son, and his Son being willing to come and make the sacrifice. But what I want to talk to us today about is another expression of his love to us. You know, we want to have, in this world where things are crowding our mind, I want to be able to have opportunities that I can easily see God's love for me. And I always want to keep at the top of the list, I thank you for sending your Son that died on the cross for me so that I can be saved. But I want to today look at something else. Genesis, the first chapter, is an expression of his love for mankind. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And it was without form and void. And I just like to think of him, this planning process in his mind. We see it just goes just a few verses and it's all done. He spoke and this came into existence. He spoke and this happened. And then you know what it's talking about, Jesus. If the world could hardly contain all the books that could be written about what he did. You know what? The world is hardly able to contain all the books about what has been written all up until now, trying to figure out how God did his business. You know, when he spoke and the trees came into existence, and with the ability to reproduce by the seeds from that tree, just so many things that happen. I want to be able to look at those things and realize, you know what? God had a plan in mind. And I look at what we get to enjoy today in nature, and it is God's expression of love to us each one. I am so thankful that he, in his creation, it was almost like I just longed to have something special to be able to give to the one that I'm going to create. It was just one man for quite a while. But the things that he did, and I want to look at another verse. It's not just for our enjoyment, but there is a verse over in Revelations, the 4th chapter, and in the Revelations 4 and 11. Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things. Here's just a reminder to us. Way back there, Genesis 1, each time he spoke and it came into existence. Thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. That just kind of opens up a little picture to me of who God was. As he created those things, the variety that he made available in those things, it wasn't just, it brought pleasure to him to be able to do it. And what I'm thinking today is, you know, we got springtime coming on. After a time of winter time of everything being dead, and then you see a flower pop out of the brown, dead grass. You know what I would like to do is I would like to have out in these weeks ahead of me to just say, wow, this was God showing his love way back at creation time when he just spoke and the grass came, flowers came, all of those things happened. And you remember the places where when he would do it, he saw that it was good. And then when he finished it all in Genesis 1, he took one more look and he saw that it was very good. The things that he had done. You know what? We want to be able to enjoy the detail of what God created for us. Because, like I said, we'll never put anything higher than his son being given to show his love. But I want to tell you, in these next days out ahead of us, as springtime comes on, you know, there are many people that will see a flower come out of the ground and their mind is on other things and they don't even think of it. But if we could just start seeing, God, you know what? Thank you for way back there in Genesis 1, you cared enough to be able to put detail into it. You know, he also created other things. The moon is out there. Man's gone to it and taken some pictures, and I'd really rather not try to live there. You know, they're trying to say, could we ever get Mars to where we could send people to Mars? And the prospect of that is not very encouraging to me, because how long it would take to get there? And then you find out you're going to have to wear an oxygen tank till you come back, if you can get back. You know what? God made this to be a special place for us to inhabit. And I want to be able to live here and say, see God's love that he made for us. In Genesis 1 and 11, I just look at some of these little details. And you know what? We get to watch this unfold for us now. Genesis 1 and 11, God said, you know, just a little something that he said here. Let the earth bring forth grass, the herb yielding seed, and the fruit tree yielding fruit after his kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth. And it was so. That's just one little verse. But you think of the variety of trees that there are out there now, that a seed can cause a nut. Think of the oak tree. You know, just one little acorn there can start another one of these big oak trees that years later has grown for so many years. I believe it's God showing his love to us in just one more angle. How many books have been written in the past trying to explain creation without putting God in it? You know, you'll never come up to a good answer when you don't have a good beginning. For us today, well, we sing that song, The Virtue of Faith. You know, the virtue of faith in us just believing. You know what? It's real simple. We won't need to spend a whole lot of research money trying to figure out about evolution. We just come back here to Genesis 1. In the beginning, there wasn't anything here. And then God started speaking and he brought it into existence. And then I start taking that same God cares about each one of us today and the troubles that I have that seem like a mountain to me. And God, if I look back at what all he was able to do just with one word, spoke it into existence, and I'm very thankful for it. But here's something else. Here's a verse in 1 John 4 and 19. We love him because he first loved us. Now that verse again, he showed his love by sending his son. But I want to also use that verse today, and I want us to see it in the next few weeks out ahead of us. The reason my love responds back to him is I am able to see in things all around me his love for mankind. I want to be able to have it cause something to happen in my life. Then I look over here in Genesis 2 and 7. The Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground, breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. You know, that verse takes just seconds to read. But I think if Brother Paul could sit down with us and talk about what all is in the detail of a human body, you take all the things, the heart and the lungs, and a person can be 100 years old, and that heart, that muscle has beat all those years. You know, God it just took a little bit here to say that he formed him. But I look at the detail that God put in it for him. Scripture tells us over in Psalms 139, when it starts describing a person being born, in Psalms 139 and 14, we are fearfully and wonderfully made. You know, as we start looking back at, okay, he spoke this and man became a living soul, but all the little details. And I think what happens is as I start getting older and a part of those details breaks down, you know, I never thought about back trouble till I had back trouble. These things that don't work so well now, it starts me realizing, you know what, God was a great big God when he brought it on and everything functioned together. The timing of your heart, the breathing, there's things that you just don't even think about, usually. Taking a step. You know, a young person, they don't think one thing about running and looking where they're going. But you know what? As I start getting older, I spend more time looking at the ground while I'm walking just ahead of me. You know, they say don't ever do that. Always look at where you're wanting to go. Well, I've tried that before, and it's not working so well for me now. And I just look at the difference of before the age starts coming on. You think about what detail God put. And here's another thing. Because what I want us to do is in this time, we're going to spend our time thinking about something. We're in a time right now, if you want to, you can spend time thinking about the government being in wars right now. And that'll be some dismal thinking. Or I can think about spring coming on. And you know what? For people that love to garden, to be able to turn up the ground and it produce some things. You know, that goes way back there in the beginning. God spoke and it came into existence. And here's another thing. When he breathed on Adam, where did Adam go to school to learn to talk? I mean, he didn't have anybody to talk to right at first. But you remember, God gave him a job right at the beginning. He said, I'm going to bring all these animals by you and you give names to them. And whatever you name them, that's what they're going to be named. You know, that's amazing. God made Adam at the very beginning with the ability to reason, ability to think, ability to process thought. We're serving an amazing God. The one that way back there could do that. And then to think, you know what? I have this big problem. It's big to me today. I got this big old problem. I just don't know how anything can be done about it. What I'd like for you to do is let's all, as we go from here today, let's turn all this thought toward, wait a minute. If God could speak a word and all of that came into existence and it has continued. Remember with Noah. Noah probably had some fears. We talked about Noah in the Sunday school class this morning. Noah probably had some fears whenever he came out of the ark. After all the devastation, what does the future hold And then God set a rainbow. He said, I'm going to make a promise with you. I'll never destroy this earth again with a flood. But he also gave him a little promise right at the end of Genesis 8 chapter. While the earth remains, there's going to be seed time and harvest, day and night. Heat and cold, they're not going to cease. They're going to be while he allows it to be. And so the things, the fears that we have, you know, we have people that will say, if we don't do something about global warming, we're going to all be gone in 10 years. And then they say, wait, we got 3 foot of snow out here on the East Coast where we can't even get around anymore. I kind of think God has some humor to him. About the time we think, oh, this thing, we're going to self-destruct. It's going, you notice this is getting way too hot over here. And then I remember Washington, D.C., they can't even get around because the snow is so deep there. And then somebody planted a sign. Can somebody tell us about global warming? And there's, everything's quiet. You know, if we could just realize God is in control of the whole thing. He was in control of it back there at the beginning. He just spoke. And he didn't say, I wonder if this will happen. I wonder how it's going to happen. Am I going to have to reverse it? You know, many things I see in the news about vehicles recalled. 500,000 vehicles recalled for something. You know, that's because man, at his very best, can make a mistake. But God has never had to make a recall. You know, it's not a recall that we're into the transgender business. That is just saying we're not willing to have the vehicle that he made for us. So it's good for us to be able to understand the times we're in. And yet God is still in full control of it all. And here's another expression of God's love. So he's got Adam here now. And it says in Genesis 2 in the 8th verse, this God that created the universe, he wants to do something special for Adam. The Lord God planted a garden. Now, you know, I drive by some gardens where some people have spent some special care with it, and you can tell it. I mean, their plants are growing up so good. They have no weeds. They maybe have mulch all down around it, and it just looks so well. But look at this one. I wonder what a garden looks like that God planted. There was some thought went into it. It wasn't just, we'll just see what comes up. But I think his thought was toward man, I'd like to do something special. This one right here, I want to cause this plant to come up. And look at what he did. It says, out of the ground, 9th verse, made the Lord God to grow every tree. Look at the first one. Pleasant to the sight. He made some of them that will never produce a fruit that you can eat, but they are beautiful to look at. You know what I want to do when I see those? I've got some of them growing in my yard now called Bradford pear, and I don't know where they came up with that name because it's never had a pear on it that I can eat. But it has some beautiful flowers on it in the springtime. What I want to do when I look at that and say, you know what? God cared so much about man that he was interested in putting some things here for me to just enjoy the sight of it. What does he say? Tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food. The tree also in the midst of the garden and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. But you know, there was also a tree that he put there that was called the tree of life. You know, he intended good things to come from that they would be able to enjoy this forever and be able to live forever. Because you remember when they sinned, he had to get them away from being able to go back to that tree. Remember, he put a flaming sword there. He never intended it to be that way. Put a flaming sword there, and he said, the reason for it is lest they should get back to that tree that I had special for them, intended for them to be able to eat from it and never die. I got to keep them away from that now. All of these things had just been coming to my mind this week to help me to realize, you know what? Yes, when I read about Adam and Eve, about the garden that God planted, you know where my mind goes? It always goes to that one bad fruit that she ate and plunged them into sin. But you know what I need to do? I need to change my thinking to where now I see what he intended it to be. Because I tell you, really, in our life today, God intends there to be some good things that grow out of what he has given for us. It's a choice that we make that takes us down the wrong road. But here's something else. God is not interested only in our existence. Okay, they've got enough to live on. That's good enough. But he also wants us to be able to have pleasure in the things that he has created. And I thought about this one. I take it for granted. When I go into the grocery store and you walk down the produce aisle and you see the variety of color for fruit. You know what? The skin of that fruit, we're going to throw it away. But God, way back there, he wanted to make some things that were just pleasant for the sight. And I think of the vivid colors of the fruit in a produce aisle. Probably somebody that could probably preach this thing so much better than me would be Brother Leslie. Yes. Brother Leslie, he could start talking about some of these things. And I think what happened was it was good for him to be able to think about. Because you know what? We're going to think about something. We can either think about how much God loved us walk by lemons or oranges and the vivid colors. We can either immediately let our mind go to thinking about, you know, God is great. He cared about me so much way back there at the beginning. He said, you know what, I'd like to put some color in some things for them to be able to have enjoyment. He commended his love for us. You know, he could have made the earth to look just like the moon, and we still be able to exist on it. But he didn't do that. He cared about us, each one. And I am very thankful for it. He commends his love for us in the death of his son on the cross. But he commends his love for us, and I want us to be able to see it. Earth right now, the grass is so brown. But I tell you what, it's amazing to see a little, I don't know if it's crocus or daffodil or whatever, you see them come up, and here's that vivid orange. What I want us to do is, when we go from here, let's take a look at that and say, that is a picture of God's love for me. I think of that with the plants, with the flowers. If we could just slow down a little bit, we're moving real fast with our mind, with our life. If I could just slow down a little bit, and sometime even just pick a flower and look at it and see the detail in it. And this wasn't just happenstance. This was God saying, I love you. I've seen some of the flowers and I think, how could they ever come up with this? I mean, the little dots in them, the little, so much detail put in them. And it was God that did it for us. What I wanted to do is cause us to, in a time where there's a lot of turmoil going on in the world around us, and it can become turmoil for us. But I think this is just kind of a little door opening to say, you know what? God is able to show me his love. He really wants to show it to all the world. There's a verse over in 1 Timothy 6 and 17. And it says, as that verse closes out, trust in the living God who gives us richly all things to enjoy. So I want to, for just a few minutes, I want us to think about a word. It's called benefits. It's on my job, I have benefits. And you know, they may not show up on the paycheck, but whenever I need to take me a sick day, it's a benefit. I want us to look at just a few verses today because you know what? These things that we have talked about today are in the benefit category, if we will see it as that. Over in Psalms, there's some verses. In Psalm 68 is the first one. 68 and 19. Blessed be the Lord who daily loads us with benefits, even the God of our salvation. What we're talking about today is just one of the little benefits that God gives us. And then here's something that if we're not careful, it can happen to us, is Psalms 103. Bless the Lord, first verse, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all of his benefits. May we be able to not forget them. I need to have me a list of them that just keeps coming to my mind on a regular basis. God did this special for me. And then there's one other verse in Psalms 116 and 12. What shall I render? And this is something I want us to think about. All so far we've been talking about God showing his love to us through these things. And then here's a question for me. What am I going to render to the Lord for all of his benefits toward me? Does it cause a love to spring back in me? I want to return this love. You know, I think that's what he really wanted with Adam and Eve. When he planted a garden and he put so many things in it, some of the trees just to be beautiful to look at. I think it was about relationship that he wanted to be able to build with them. You know, what if he would be able to come in the cool of the day and he sees them and they say, oh, God, I want to tell you, we were over in this corner of the place today and we saw this tree. I'd never seen it before. It has such beautiful flowers blooming on it. And I believe that is what he was intending to have, the communication that he wanted to have. So I look at this one. What am I going to render to the Lord for all of his benefits? And those benefits, we're not just talking about the flowers and everything today. You know, what about the benefits of salvation? What will I render back to him? There's another verse over in Acts. You know, Paul was on Mars Hill, and he was trying to explain to them about God. And he described it in this way. It's in Acts 17 and 25. He said he's neither worshipped with men's hands as though he needed anything. You know, really and truly, God does not need anything from me for him to exist. Seeing that he giveth to all life and breath and all things. What will I render to him for those benefits that he's given to me of life and breath and all things? What will I give back to him? And here, as we close out today, there's a place that I want to be able to see God's love for humanity and say, Lord, help me. And that is found in Matthew 5 and 43. 43rd verse, ye have heard that it has been said, love your neighbor, hate your enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. This morning we've been talking about God's love for mankind, and we're about to see it here. That ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. Want you to be able to be just like God in heaven, and here's how he is. He makes his sun to rise on the evil and the good. He sends rain on the just and the unjust. This is the love of God. The beautiful things that we see, you know what? An infidel can grow beautiful flowers. He gets rain on his crops just like the Christian does. Why is it? And we want to be like the children of our Father. He makes his sun to rise on the evil and the good. He doesn't withhold it. He doesn't say, I tell you what, if you don't live for me, you'll never get a rain on your land again. Instead, he's still, and that really is showing his love really great. Yes. Then. And what it also does is sends a call out to me. For if you love them which love you, what reward have you? Do not even the publicans the same? If you salute your brethren only, what do you more than others? Do not even the publicans so? Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father, which is in heaven, is perfect. And I think the song that we heard before this message gives us a little, ties this all together a little bit. Let me touch him so that others can know and be blessed. Let me have a connection to the love that God has for me and how he was willing to have mercy on me and then help me to reach out to others and show that same love to them. Want to be able to have that in my life. There's a song that I want to close with, because now this is not just about God's love to me, but it's about my love and concern for others. There's a verse in 1 Peter 1 and 22. See that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently. And you remember the scripture where Jesus was saying, by this shall all men know that you're my disciples, if you have love one to another. You know, this is where we show it. To the world around us, we want to be able to show it. But we also want to be able to have a love that extends one to another. By this shall all men know that you're my disciples. We want to be able to have that. But I want to look at a song, number 253. Because this is not just about us loving each other here in the chapel, but to just have a love for mankind themselves. And look back when God was able to, at the beginning, before there was ever even a man, but he just had a concept. You know what? I did it in just one verse. I said, let the grass come and let the trees come and let all this. And we get to enjoy the benefits of what that one verse did. Because he had a plan out there in the future. I don't want this to be looking like the moon. I want this to be something that when people look at it, they will say, that's something. God could have, next time you see the moon, take a look at it, which one you want. I'm thankful for what we have. Yes. And may I be able to see God's love to humanity. You know, we'll see people that are cursing God. They get to enjoy the same breath that I've breathed, the air that I can breathe. God is good. And then it comes down to me. Be ye therefore perfect, as your Father in heaven is perfect. May I have a perfect love for those around me, those that don't seem to be lovable in the world around me. Help me to be able to see, have God's love, that the detail that he put in Genesis 1, so that everyone would be able to enjoy it. May I be able to display that to the world around me. So in this song, number 253, in verse 4, in this world of toil and sorrow, many hearts are full of care. Let us live to serve our master and each other's burdens bear. Kind and loving to each other, gentle words to all we meet. Thus we follow Christ our Savior, proving all his service sweet. I want to be able, and I don't want this to just say, okay, I'm trying to practice this with those that I meet in service. But no, those that I come in contact in the world, may I be able to have, because I tell you, there's a lot of care and there's a lot of trouble in the world around me. May I be able to be consumed with God's love for me. I see it in everything around me. I'm able to see, I love to be able to see some of the detail that's in a flower and just look at it and say, you know what? God took a little special interest to cause this flower to have this kind of a detail in it. And now let me spread this same love to those that I come in contact with. Maybe we can stand and sing number 253.